ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। टुगेदर वी कैन रिसाइट नारायणं नमस्कृत्या नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्ति भवति नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। So we are reading from Canto 10th, Chapter 34, entitled Nand Maharaj Saved and Shankhachuda Slain. Text 1. Shri Shuka Uvacha Ekda Deva Yatrayam Gopala Jata Kautuka Anubhir Anudhud अनुबीर अनुदुद्युक्त प्रयुस्ते अंबिकावनम् एकदा देव यात्रायाम् गोपाला जात कौतुकः अनुबीर अनुदुद्युक्त प्रयुस्ते अंबिकावनम् माताजी
श्री शुका उवाच देव यात्राया जात कौतुका उद्युक्त
श्री शुका उवाच श्री सुखदेव गोस्वामी सेड एकदा वंस देव टू वर्शिप द डेमिगॉड लॉर्ड शिवा यात्रायाम ऑन अ ट्रिप गोपालः द काउहर्ड मैन जात कौतुका ईगर अनोभी विद वेगन्स अनदुड टू ऑक्सन युक्त योग्ड प्रययु वेंट फोर्थ ते दे अंबिकावनम टू द अंबिका फॉरेस्ट। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय द डिसाइपल्स ऑफ हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। सुखदेव गोस्वामी सेड One day the cowherd men, eager to take a trip to worship Lord Shiva, travelled by bullock carts to the Ambika forest. Purport. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the word Ekda here indicates the occasion of Shivratri. He further mentions that Ambikavan is in Gujarat province near the city of Siddhapur. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur adds that the departure of the cowherd men specifically took place on the 14th lunar day of the dark fortnight of the month of Falgun. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti also quotes authorities who claim that Ambikavan lies on the bank of Saraswati River northwest of Mathura. Ambikavan is notable because within it are the deities of Shri Shiva and his wife goddess Uma. Om Ajnanat Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmay Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishvanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Mancha Galpataru Vyasha Kripa Sindhu Vacha Paditanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Nama Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo 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 Hare 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 Krishna, so I seek blessing of all the assembled devotees so that I may say something beneficial, inspiring and purifying for my own self. So, I'll read the translation once again. Sukhdev Goswami said, One day the cowherd men eager to take a trip to worship Lord Shiva travelled by bullock cars to the Ambika forest. So, describe that Sukhdev Goswami has just finished the description of Krishna's Ras Leela, which takes place in autumn season. And before describing the holi of the spring season, he is describing the celebration of Shivratri. Right, so, this is the Ekadamin on the day of Shivratri here, as pointed by Srila Jiva Goswami. So, on the day of Shivratri, the Brajvasis, they are going to Ambikavan to worship Lord Shiva and Durga, his wife Durga Devi. So we see that even Brajvasis, they actually worship the demigods. Since just before the Ras Leela, Krishna enacted pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill. So, there we see that how the Brajvasis, they were worshipping Indra. And we again hear the story of the gopis worshipping Katyayani Devi. So, here in the Brajvasi, they all are very eager on that day. They are going and they want to worship Lord Shiva on the day of Shivratri. So, is it that Brajvasi's worship of the demigod, it's against the principle of pure devotional service, as we hear that how one of the principles is the devotee is doesn't worship the demigods, he doesn't need to worship the demigods. So actually, in this particular case, they are going to worship Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva is actually a Vaishnava. Lord Shiva plays dual role. He is Mahadev, the Lord of the demigods, the greatest demigod. In that capacity, he feels obliged to satisfy the material desires of those who worship him for that. And in the second role, he actually is a great Vaishnava. He is Acharya of one of the four bona fide sampradaya, Rudra sampradaya. And he is fully conversant with all the principles of pure devotional service, and he can guide a living entity on the path of pure devotional service. So we can see that how Lord Krishna, he plays these two roles. One is of the either demigod, and other is he is like a Vaishnava teacher or a Vaishnava acharya. His service, this can be compared to one, his like his departmental managerial service. And so both these services have been given to him by Krishna. One is like a departmental managerial services, which is actually gives a lot of headache, not very pleasing to be performed many a times. The other service is the service of acharya, where one speaks upon Srimad Bhagavatam, leads the kirtan, worship the deities, right? That is also service, but that's a very pleasing service to be performed. Right? So we see that how Lord Shiva, he also balances, he performs both these services. Lord Shiva has a service of, he is in charge of the mode of goodness, or the in charge of the living entity in the mode of ignorance actually. So, Lord Shiva guides or he helps elevate living entities like bhutas, pishachas, right? pretas, and so on. So we can see actually how what kind of difficult service this is. If someone feels that his counselees, they don't listen to a person, what we say, right? One can meditate on the service of Lord Shiva. What kind of counselees Lord Shiva has? Bhutas, pretas, pishachas, and he has to manage all of them and gradually elevate all of these. It's a very thankless and very difficult service to be performed. Right? But Lord Shiva he performed this service, and on the other side we see Lord Shiva, he is speaking about pure devotional service to the prachetas. Lord Shiva speaks about renunciation to the great sages. Right. So Lord Shiva, so he performs is both the service. One is a managerial service, other one is a service of propagating or spreading pure devotional service. Right. So he performs both these services for the pleasure of Krishna, for the satisfaction of Krishna. Right. So because both are required to be done. Lord Shiva, for performing these services, is actually very dear to Krishna. Lord Shiva, he's a very worshipable personality. Right? We see that even he's such an exalted person that even Lord Krishna, he worships Lord Shiva. Lord Ram worships Lord Shiva. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was traveling in South India, he would go and offer respects and worship Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva is not an ordinary personality. He is Mahadev. He is a great Acharya, great Vaishnava Acharya. Srimad Bhagavatam 12th canto describes Nimnaganam yatha Ganga, Devanam achyuto yatha, Vaishnavanam yatha Shambhu, Purananam idam tatha. Just like Ganga is the greatest of all the rivers, Nimnaganam, those who go towards the sea, all the rivers, Yatha Ganga. Ganga is the best among all. Among all the Devanam, Achyuto Yatha. Among all the deities, worshipable deities, Lord Chit is the best. Srimad Bhagavatam is the best of all the Puranas. And so Lord Shiva is best among all the Vaishnavas. Vaishnava Nam Yatha Shambhu. So he is a great Vaishnava, worshipable personality. And all the Brajavasis, they are going now to the Ambika forest to worship him. Now someone may actually raise a question that are the Brajavasis, they are worshipping Lord Shiva as a great Vaishnava, or are they worshipping him as a demigod? There is a dual role to be performed. Bhagavad Gita condemns the worship of demigods, including the worship of Lord Shiva, for material desires. So what about the Brajavasis? They are going to worship Lord Shiva. What is their understanding? So even if you say, okay, they are worshipping the Lord Shiva, the great Vaishnava, then what about their worshipping of Lord Indra? Indra is not counted as a great acharya or a great worshipable personality. We see he's a great demigod. And they were worshipping him for actually by performing a great sacrifice so that they can get rains from Indra. And it was a traditional sacrifice, right? Even if we say Lord Krishna stopped this worship of Indra, but it has been going on. He stopped for that particular year. Before that, they've been worshipping. It was an annual sacrifice they were performing to Indra. Right? So, and similarly we see how the goddess Katyayani, the gopis worship goddess Katyayani. So we do not deny the fact actually the Brajavasis, they were worshipping the demigods. Right? But we have to understand what is their mood of worshipping the demigods. Right? In the pastime of gopis worshipping the Katyayani, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, they write, there is no fault on their part in worshipping Durga, since in their pastimes of loving Krishna, they were acting as ordinary members of human society. Srila Prabhupada comments in this regard, the Vaishnavas generally do not worship any demigods. Narottam Das Thakur has strictly forbidden all kinds of worship of demigods for anyone who wants to advance in pure devotional service. Yet the gopis who are beyond compare in their affection for Krishna were seen to worship Durga. The worshippers of demigods, Prabhupada is writing, that when we condemn the worship of demigods, the worship of the demigods also sometimes quotes this. They say the gopis were worshipping Durga, gopis were worshipping demigods, so why should you condemn the worship of demigods? But we must understand the purpose of the gopis, Prabhupada is saying. Here, the gopis could adopt any means to satisfy or serve Krishna. That was the super excellent characteristics of the gopis. So, very important point here made is, actually, in this pastime of Krishna, Vrindavan, the Brajavasis, the residents of Vrindavan, they are acting just like the other human beings. Right? Again, Srila Vishwanath Chakra Thakur further states in this connection, although the pastimes of Vraja are on the platform of pure transcendence, they somewhat resemble material pastimes in appearance. But those who consider these pastimes to be material have no chance of getting the touch of breeze carrying the scent of Krishna Prema. He says. So although the point is, although the pastimes of Vrindavan, they resemble material pastimes, they are not to be considered material. They are all on the platform of pure devotional service. Because Prabhupada is explaining, the gopis are beyond compare in their affection for Krishna. They could adopt any means to satisfy Krishna. Right? So we have to understand the purpose. Even if they are worshipping the demigod, their only purpose, following the ways of human society, but their only purpose of all the activities, including this one, is to serve and satisfy Krishna. And Prabhupada says, this is the super excellent characteristic of the residents of Vrindavan. So, without a doubt, all the activities of the Brajvasis, they are meant for the pleasure of Krishna. And all these activities are approved and inspired by Krishna. Just like you see, although they were doing that annual sacrifice, which was a long ancient tradition actually, the sacrifice to Indra, when Krishna disapproved of it, as soon as Krishna said, please don't do that, the Brajvasis dropped it. Right? So this also shows that how their purpose, ultimately they want to serve and satisfy Krishna. That is their super excellent characteristic. So there is no question of their not following the rules and regulation of pure devotional service. The Brajvasis, they are, even the Raganuga Bhaktas, they neglect the rules of the ordinary rules of devotional service. And Brajvasis are even beyond the Raganuga Bhaktas. They are Prema Bhaktas. They are devotees in love with Krishna. And not just that, they are the best of the Prema Bhaktas. And those who have love for Krishna, the residents of Vrindavan, they are the best among that. There is a verse which describes how the residents of Vrindavan are the best among all the devotees. Aradyo Bhagavan Vrajeshataneya Taddham Vrindavanam Ramya Kachidubasana Vrajvadu Vargena Vakalpita. Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajvadu Vargena Vakalpita. So the worship performed by Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajvadu, the worship performed by the gopis of Vrindavan, it is Ramya, it is very pleasing to Krishna. So their devotional service is most pleasing to Krishna. So they are the topmost of the devotees. They are the best among the devotees. And this is the opinion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Matamidam. This is the opinion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we have the highest regard for this. So, the point we have been discussing, that the characteristics of Krishna's Vrindavan pastime is that it resembles human. It resembles the ways of human beings. So many people, they actually become bewildered by these pastimes. Not to talk of ordinary people, even Lord Brahma, we see, who is the first living being, the greatest of all the personalities in this world, he also became bewildered by these human-like pastimes of the Supreme Lord. So then someone may ask that why should Krishna act in this way? Why should he perform pastime in this way that will bewilder ordinary living entities and even learned personalities sometimes? Right? Why should Krishna give a chance to the people to misunderstand him? Right? So the answer to this is that actually those who have no love for Krishna, those who are envious of him, they will actually always misunderstand him. And the devotees will always appreciate the pastime of the Lord. So Krishna is actually, he is more concerned with enhancing the pleasure of his devotees rather than taking care of those that he may not be misunderstood by the other people. Right? Because I said that those who have no love for Krishna, they will always misunderstand him. As we see that in the pastime of Lord Ram, he made Mother Sita go through the Agni Pariksha, so that the people may not misunderstand, right? All the demigods bore witness that Mother Sita is completely pure. But still, there was a misunderstanding. Still there was a washerman who said, how can he accept someone who has stayed in another person's house? So those who are envious, they will always misunderstand him. So Krishna is not concerned about them. As we say in the modern way, that Krishna doesn't give a damn to them. Right? So he is not concerned about them. His main concern is to satisfy, to enhance the pleasure of his devotees. So there's a beautiful verse in Srimad Bhagavatam which describes, evam lila narvapur narlokanushilayan reme go gopa gopinam ramyan rupa vakritay. Thus the Supreme Lord, appearing like a human being to perform his pastimes, imitated the ways of human society. Narlok anushilayan. Why did he acted like that? The next verse, next line describes, reme go gopa gopi nam. He acted like this because he wants to enhance the pleasure of the cows, the gopas and the gopis. Reme go gopa gopi nam. So this is actually the main concern of the Lord, that he wants to enhance, he wants to maximize the pleasure of his devotees. And we see the same thing, another beautiful pastime of Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Krishna, he of his killing Kalevan and running away from and running away at that time. So describe that after Krishna, he placed all his family members safely in the fort of Dwarka. He came back to Mathura and he saw that how Kalyavan with all his barbarian army, he had attacked Mathura. So Krishna was on foot and he didn't have any weapons. So when Kalyavan saw that, he also dropped his weapon and he also came down from his chariot. He said, he doesn't have weapon, I will also fight without weapons and on foot with Krishna. So as Kalyavan started running towards Krishna to fight with him, Krishna turned his back and started running away. So Sukadeva Goswami described that Kalyavan is hoping to catch Krishna, whom even the great mystic yogis cannot catch. So Krishna was running in such a way that Kalyavan, it is described that it looked like Kalyavan will just catch him. It was just a very small distance between the two of them. That Kalyavan is just going to reach Krishna now. He's just going to catch Krishna now. So he was just one or two hands away from Krishna. He was going in such a way, Krishna. Right? But again, Sukadeva Goswami says that how can he actually reach Krishna, because his sinful reaction has not yet been cleansed away. How can he catch Krishna? Right? So we see also that Mother Yashoda, she ran behind Krishna. Right? Although she had a heavy body and she was a woman, right, she could catch Krishna. But Kalyavan is like an athletic personality. Right? He could run faster than Mother Yashoda. But he is not able to catch Krishna, because his sinful reactions have not been cleansed away, is mentioned. As Srimad Bhagavad Gita describes, Yasham to antakatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dond moh nirmukta bhajante mam dridavrata. That only those who are free from all kind of sinful reactions, all kind of sins, by the execution of devotional service can worship Krishna with great determination. Only they can actually achieve Krishna, they can catch Krishna. So he describes that how then the story goes, how Krishna, he takes him many miles away and into the cave where Muchukunda was there, and then he gets Kalyavan killed by Muchukunda. And then after showing mercy to Muchukunda, Krishna, he returns back to Mathura and he destroys the whole army of Kalyavan. So that Kalyavan ran alone behind Krishna, the army was still in Mathura. So Krishna comes back and he destroys the whole army of Mathura. and when he has destroyed the army, Krishna and other Yadavas then also join, Lord Balramji join in that fight. And after destroying the army, they were taking all the jewels and the other valuables after the battle from this Yavana army to Dwarka. They were carrying on oxen carts. So as they were carrying all these jewels and wealth of the enemy, Jarasandha comes with his 23 army divisions to attack Krishna at that time. So he said that again, seeing Jarasandha come, Krishna and Balaram, they both again turned their back and started running. Right? Immediately, for the second time. Vilokya vega rasabham ripu sainasya madhavo manushya chestamapanno rajan dudruvatur drutam. Right? Vilokya vega rabhasam. Seeing the vague or seeing the fierce enemy of Jarasandha approaching, Ribushanasya Madhavo. Madhavo is like both of them, Krishna and Balaram. Munushya Cheshtam Apanno. Again, following the ways of human society, O king, seeing the fierce waves of the enemy's army, the two Madhavas, imitating human behavior, ran swiftly away. And the next verse describes, Vihaya vittam prachuram abito bhiru bhitavat padmyam padma palashabhyam chelatur bahu yojanam. So they left Vihaya vittaya prachuram, that immense wealth, they left behind, which they were carrying after killing the army of Kalyavan. They left behind and they ran exhibiting fear. Although they are fearless, abhito bhiru bhitvat. All they are abhito, they are without any fear. But here they exhibited fear. So they ran as if in fear. Okay. And how? Padbhyam padmapalashabhyam. Very nice, there is an alliteration and there is a metaphor in this third line. Padbhyam padmapalashabhyam. So ran on feet which are like padmapalashabhyam, which are like a lotus feet. Chelatur bahu yojanam, they ran for many, many miles, bahu yojanam. Right? So, this verse is describing, there's a contradiction here. Abhito bhiru bhitavat. Although they are fearless, they are exhibiting fear. And the answer is, munushya cheshtam apanno, because they are imitating the ways of human being, imitating human behavior. Right? So similarly, the kings who had been imprisoned by Jarasandha, they had sent a petition letter to Krishna for their rescue. They also describe, is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, they are saying, O wielder of the disc, in their petition to Krishna, your strength is unlimited, and thus 17 times you crush Jarasandha in battle. But then, absorbed in human affairs, you allowed him to defeat you once. Okay? Absorbed in human affairs, you allowed him to defeat you once. Now he is so filled with pride that he dares to torment us, your subjects. O unconquerable one, please rectify this situation. Okay? So we see how, although Jarasandha has been defeated 17 times, he has witnessed the prowess. One time, because Krishna allowed him, he actually ran and he allowed him to be victorious. Right? So he is thinking they are just like ordinary human beings. 17 times he couldn't understand their prowess. Right? So the non-devotee will always misunderstand Krishna. Right? That's the point we were discussing. So Krishna is not concerned what the non-devotees will say. He is mainly concerned to enhance the pleasure of his devotees. So Srila Prabhupada writes in this particular purport of this verse, the word narlok niratam, in this shloka which the kings are saying, that you absorbed in human affairs allowed Jarasandha to defeat you once, the words are narlok niratam. So these words indicate that Lord was absorbed in playing within the worlds of human beings. Thus, while acting like a human being, he allowed Jarasandha to be victorious in a single battle after the Lord had crushed him 17 times. So now the kings are telling that how now Jarasandha has become very proud and he is considering to be ordinary human being. So please now dispel his illusion. It's time to dispel his illusion. Please kill him now and rescue us. That's what these kings are petitioning. Right? So they are saying that, O you who hold the chakra weapon high, Now please release it, please use it now. It's the right time to use your chakra weapon. Similarly, there is a beautiful verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita which describes, Krishna rayate kakhela sarvottama naralila naravaputaha rasarupa gopavesha venukara navkishora natavara naralilara hai anurupa. Krishna has many pastimes of which his pastimes as human beings are the best. Krishna rayate kakhela sarvottama naralila. So his pastimes as human beings are the best. His form as human being is a supreme transcendental form. In this form, he is a cowherd boy. He carries a flute. Gopavesh Venukar Navakishore Natvar. He carries a flute in his hand and his youth is new. He is also an expert dancer. All this is just suitable for his pastime as a human being. So we see that how Krishna performs his pastime where he imitates the way of human society. Right? And similarly, his dear devotees, right, in their pastime, they also imitate or they also follow the ways of the human society. But then very soon, Krishna exhibits his omnipotence. Right? You see, every time then, Krishna imitates a human behavior, but then every time he exhibits his omnipotence. He crushed the pride of Indra, lifted the Govardhan hill, right? Killed Kalyavan, right? Although he was running away. So he exhibited his omnipotence, and so the intelligent person can easily understand that he is actually the Supreme Lord. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. So this is the main reason that how why Krishna performed these pastimes like human being. Or he not just performed pastimes, it's mentioned, naralok niratam. He becomes absorbed in these pastimes, become absorbed in acting the ways of human beings to enhance the pleasure of his devotees. Right? So, we see that although Bhagavatam described that Krishna, he's like an actor who comes to this material world and enacts his pastimes. A good quality of actor is that an actor becomes absorbed in his role. Right? So Krishna also, when he comes as a human being, which is actually his original form, the human beings are created after the form of Krishna, right? Similar to the form of Krishna. So when he descends in this human society, Krishna is absorbed in performing his pastimes as a human being. Dwarkadish Prabhu was sharing one that when he performed that role of an African chief, what was the name? Johnson? Huh? Yeah, Johnson. That African chief. Yamuna Mataji said, actually, you performed it so well, it looks like the spirit of Johnson, the ghost or whatever, it descended. It descended within you. So Dwarkadish Prabhu was saying that actually, Yamuna Mataji would always call him after that, Mr. Johnson. She would not call him Dwarkadish Prabhu. After that, she would always call him, oh, Mr. Right? In her usual style, oh, Mr. Johnson, right? Something like that. So, the good actor, he becomes absorbed in his role. So similarly, Krishna, when he performs his pastimes as a human being, he becomes absorbed in his role to actually give pleasure, reme gopinam, to give pleasure to the cows, the gopas, the gopis, and actually all the devotees. Right? They can relish these pastimes of Krishna. So when the devotees, they hear this pastime, and the devotee, when they hear this pastime of Krishna acting like a human being, it fills them with great transcendental pleasure. Right? So we see how even in his dealing with the Pandavas, Krishna, when he would come, he would act like a younger brother of Maharaj Yudhishthir. Right? And he would touch the feet of Maharaj Yudhishthir when he would come. So it's mentioned, Darbham Parisvajya Ramamalayam Mukunda Gatram Narpartir Hatashubha Lebe Param Nirvratim Ashru Lochano Rishyat Tanur Vismrita Loka Vibrama. The eternal form of Lord Krishna is the everlasting residence of Goddess of Fortune. As soon as King Yudhishthira embraced him, right, when Krishna came and offered respects to Maharaj Yudhishthira, acting like his younger brother, Maharaj Yudhishthira embraced him and he became free from all contamination of material existence. He immediately felt transcendental bliss and merged in an ocean of happiness. There were tears in his eyes and his body shook due to ecstasy. He completely forgot that he was living in this material world. So when the devotees describe that how the devotees they feel great transcendental happiness, they just not forget their own self in the transcendental bliss, but they even they forget the existence of the entire material world outside of them. Hrishyattanur vismrita loka vibhrama. And he became so much surcharged with spiritual bliss, Maharaj Yudhishthira, that he just forgot his material existence and the existence of the material world around him. Recently, Gaurangpur was speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam in Jagannath Puri, and Sarvabhauma Prabhu, he came to attend one of the sessions. So after that, the devotees gave the mic to him and said, please speak something. And he said, for last few hours, we were not on the bodily platform. All the activities of the bodily platform, they ceased. Right? And we were transported to the spiritual realm. So how many experienced that, he asked. And all the devotees said, Hari Bol. He said, so always remain there. Always remain on that platform. That means you should always remain absorbed, he was saying, in hearing and chanting about Krishna. Right? So when we actually become absorbed, when we absorb our mind in hearing the pastime of Krishna, we can transcend the bodily platform. And that is the actual purpose of human form of life. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to often quote a beautiful verse from 11th canto. Labdva sudurlabam idam bahu sambhavante manushyam arthadam anityam api hadhira tunam yatetana pate danumrittu yavan nishre yashaya vishaya khalu sarvata syad. This is the from the teaching of the Navyogendras to Maharaj Nimi. Labdva sudurlabam idam. Sorry, Navyogendra is teaching Maharaj Yadu. Maharaj Yadu. Labdva sudurlabam idam bahu sambhavante. So this human form of life is obtained after a long time. Bahu sambhavante, many yugas have, many after going through many millions of species, after so many yugas, this human form of life is obtained. Although this is temporary, but something very valuable can be achieved from this. Right? So, Nishre says, Labdva sudurlama midam bahu sambhavante, manushyam arthadam anityam api hadhira. So, what is the actual purpose of this human form of life? Tunam yate etna pate danu mrittu yavan. So one should actually absorb his mind. Tunam yate. One should strive for spiritual perfection. And the perfection is to absorb one mind in the pastime of Krishna, in hearing about him, in chanting his glories. Nishreyashaya vishaya khalu sarvata syad. For the sense gratification is available in all the species of life. So described in this particular context that how Krishna created all the various species of life, but he was not pleased. Therefore, he created human beings, just like his own. And then he was actually pleased. Because in human form of life, one can strive for spiritual perfection. Right? So, there again the disciples of Prabhupada writes, they said, human form of life, this is the purpose, is meant for achieving liberation from material bondage. So one should not use it to go to hell. So, in the words of Prabhupada, the conclusion is that a sincere devotee of Krishna will never imagine any material quality to exist in the transcendental gopis, who are the most exalted devotees of the Lord. The only motivation in all their activities was simply to love and satisfy Krishna. And if we foolishly consider their activities to be mundane in any way, it will be impossible for us to understand Krishna consciousness. So, here in the residents of Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, all of them, including Krishna, they all are going, they all are traveling to Ambika forest to worship Lord Shiva. Right? But their only purpose is to serve and satisfy Krishna. Right? So although the Brajvasis, they may worship the demigods following the way of the human society, but their only motivation is to love Krishna, is to please Krishna. So I will just end with one beautiful pastime from Chaitanya Charitamrit, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also acts when he comes, just like a devotee. So describe that when all the devotees were returning after they had stayed for the 4 months of Chaturmasya, every year all the devotees from Bengal would come, and after seeing the Rath Yatra and other festivals, after Chaturmas, staying for 4 months, they would all return back. Right? So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling that all of you come every year, right? They would all walk, we know, is described. You all come every year, leaving your family, your home behind, and you take all so much trouble to come here just to see me. Right? So he says, there is no trouble for me, for I just stay here. But you all undergo so much trouble because you want to come and see me. The Lord says that I cannot even say no to you. I cannot forbid you because I also want to see all of you. The Lord tells them. Right? And then he says, I actually forbade Nityanand Prabhu not to come here, but he comes anyway. Right? So what should I say? And then Mahaprabhu says that how even Advaita Acharya, he has so much affection for me. So he also comes every year just to show his actually mercy to me. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling that how I am so indebted to all of you because you take so much trouble that I cannot repay the debt which I owe to you. Sanyasi manush mora nahi kona dhan ki diya to mara rin karinu shodhan. He says, I am actually a renunciant. What wealth I have? Nahi kona dhan. I don't have any wealth to repay the debt of all of you. Dehe matra dhan tomae kailu samarpan taha vikaye yaha vechite tomar man. So he said, I have only this body in my possession. Therefore, I surrender my body unto all of you. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells all the devotees. Therefore, now it is your property, so you can sell it anywhere you want. And this way, that can be repaid. So hearing these words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees, they began to shed tears. And seeing that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to shed tears. And then Advaita Acharya speaks, he says, my Lord, the whole world is obligated to you for your transcendental attributes. Yet you bind your devotees again with your sweet words. Under these circumstances, who can go anywhere? Right? So the pure devotees of the Lord, headed by the Brajvasis, they are always situated at the lotus feet of Krishna, even if they are worshipping any demigod, including Lord Shiva. Jai Granthara Srimad Bhagatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande.